Hey everybody, I'm Jeremy Foster. Today on The Maker Show, I'm going to show you how to make a radio from scratch. A little bit of tin foil, some wire, something to wrap those around, and one passive component, and you've got yourself a radio. You'll be picking up local stations in no time. All right, to get started with this project, we're going to need to build the body of the radio. Now, the body of the radio is not really all that important. I'm choosing to make it out of some more durable products here. I'm using some MDF for the baseboard, and then I'm going to use some wooden dowels on top of that MDF that are obviously round, being a dowel, and are something that we can wrap our tinfoil and our wire around to make our two primary components in this project. Now, you could just use a toilet paper tube, a couple of toilet paper tubes, and glue those to a piece of cardboard if you want. It really doesn't matter what you choose. But I'm going to go through the process of building something a little bit more durable here. Now, I'm going to be drilling some holes through the MDF and also into the dowels so that I can drive a screw through. And the important thing when you're trying to drill through a piece of wood and into another is to drill the hole size in the product that you're trying to actually attach to, in this case the dowel, the size of the shank of your screw. So that is the size at the base of the threads, not at the outside of the threads. That way the threads still have something to bite into, but the shank is going to have a room without splitting the wood or opening the wood up. But then the product, the material that you're trying to attach the screw through, in this case the MDF, should have holes that are drilled out that are the size of the outside of the thread. That way, when you screw it in, it's going to be pulling that dowel into the base board and sucking it up against there and then holding it well. So we've got a couple of round objects now that we can wrap our wire around for our inductor. That's one of our primary components. And then for the other, we're going to wrap some tin foil around it. That's our other primary component to make a capacitor. We also need a breadboard. This is to attach all of the electrical components here, the capacitor and the inductor and the little diode that we've got. All right, let's have a look before we get started at what this circuit looks like. Now, if these symbols look foreign to you, don't worry about that. We're actually going to use real pieces and things that you'll recognize as we go through this. But in case this is meaningful for you, it may be a good and helpful map as we walk through it. On the top, you can see a capacitor. That's going to be the tinfoil piece that we create. And this capacitor is in parallel with an inductor. That's the coil below it. And in parallel means that the two ends of these two components are touching. And then on one end of that, we've got an antenna, and that antenna is going to be you, most likely. And then we've got the line is attached to one end of a diode. And so all of these things, this capacitor and this inductor, this antenna and this diode on this left side of the diagram are all potentially connected. That means that they're going to be plugged into the same row or column rather on our breadboard, and that'll essentially hook them all together. So every point on that wire is exactly the same from an electrical standpoint. Now on the right side, we've got the ground, and everything's connected to the ground, but essentially this diode and speaker are paired together to be in parallel with our inductor and our capacitor. One of the things I think that's interesting about this circuit is the behavior of this capacitor. This capacitor, in parallel with the inductor, ends up acting as a filter. You may or may not know, this inductor is going to pick up all radio frequencies that come in, and that wouldn't make any sense to us. And so we're going to have to put the capacitor on there so that we can tune it in and only pick up a certain radio station at a time. And that's because of the behavior of a capacitor. A capacitor takes some time to charge and discharge, and so depending on the level of capacitance that you have, you end up filtering out all of the other frequencies and only tuning in to the one that you want. And now it's time to go ahead and create our inductor. I've got this copper wire. It looks like just bare copper, but it actually has a protective insulating coating on the outside. So if you find the same wire that I do, make sure you sand the ends so that when you stab it into the breadboard, it's going to make a connection. Now, I wrapped mine about 100 times around this dowel, and this dowel is about 1.5 inches in diameter. And I suspect that there's, although I didn't try, I suspect that there's quite a bit of forgiveness in that. You'll still be able to pick up radio stations. Certainly, it does change the characteristics of this inductor and changes the overall circuit. And that's some of the fine tuning that if you were going to get into the science of creating a radio, you could really figure with more detail. But just this, 100 wraps around 1.5 inches, worked plenty well, as you'll see in a little while when we start picking up some stations. It is a little bit difficult, unwieldy, trying to keep this wire in place. At the end here, I'm going to go ahead and stick a couple pieces of tape on it to keep it there so that it doesn't come unwound. And there you have it. We've got ourselves an inductor. An inductor, as you can see, is a really simple component. It's created by simply wrapping a wire around something. And I want you to understand fundamentally and conceptually how this works, because it's not at all a difficult concept. This is your cell phone signal and your wireless and proprietary wireless devices. All of these things are using radio frequencies to communicate, for the most part. There are some other technologies like lasers and microwaves which are again RF or IR. So you can use light to propagate through the air, but anytime we use these conventional radio waves, we're using this one principle, and that is that there's a relationship between electricity that's flowing through a wire and magnetism. And it's pretty amazing. It's a fundamental law of physics that I think that we don't even fully understand, but we've come to accept that there is this relationship such that when I run electricity through a wire, it creates a magnetic field around that wire. And then if I run that wire around in a spiral, then all of the magnetism, all the lines of magnetic flux around those wires, they create kind of a superstructure of magnetic flux around that entire coil, where if you laid it on a sheet full of magnetic filings, you'd actually see the magnetic filings line up with the magnetic field, and it would go through the center of the coil and then around it and create kind of a magnetic field like we have on the Earth. So the fact that electricity and magnetism have this relationship is really, really helpful to us when we want to send something wirelessly from here to there, because we can run electricity in a certain pattern or signal through a wire and count on the fact that that's going to create a varying magnetic field and basically propagate from this sender, from this transmitter. It's going to propagate my signal, whether that's voice or music or data, whatever it is. And then on the other end, we're going to have a coil, and that coil is going to use the reverse principle here, and that is that this relationship between electricity and magnetism works both ways. Not only does running electricity through a wire induce a magnetic field, but if you just take a coil and sit it there in the middle of nowhere, and then you introduce magnetism to it, then it will cause current to flow through that wire. So once again, very convenient for us. On one end, we can run electricity through a wire and it'll give us a magnetic field. And then some distance away, we can create another coil that receives this signal by responding to the magnetic field changing through this coil and introducing an electric signal in there. So when we create this radio today, all we're really doing is we're introducing a coil that listens for the radio waves that are in the air around us. And as they cause the magnetism around this coil to vary, that causes the electricity that's going through the wire to vary. So that's the concept of an inductor and a radio. Let's go ahead and move on to the capacitor. Now, a capacitor is another component, electronic component, that's very, very simple to understand. It's really just two pieces of metal that are really, really close together but aren't touching. And so there is no DC current flow through a capacitor because there's no connection from one end to another. It's like an open circuit. But the metal is so close to, the two pieces of metal are so close to each other that if you have a signal, an AC signal going back and forth, one can affect or influence the other. One of these sides of the metal can affect or influence the other side and can essentially push a little bit of electricity. It can influence or push the electrons on the other side of the capacitor. So we're going to create a capacitor by using two pieces of tin foil with a thin piece of paper in between. Now this paper is acting as what's called the dielectric, which is the gap between the two conductive materials. The tin foil conducts, but the paper does not, and so there is no flow between. And we're doing this on a tall dowel, or you could use a paper towel tube, because then we can slide this up and down. And that changes the value of our capacitance, because the value of the capacitance, which is measured in farads, is a variable of how much surface area of conductive material there is on either side of the dielectric material. So as we slide this up, it's going to reduce the capacitance of this component. And as we slide it down, we are overlapping more and more of the tinfoil, and so it's going to increase the capacitive value of this component. Okay, so now we just need a lead on either side of this capacitor. So I'm going to tape a red wire to the top and tape a black wire to the bottom. And now we've got these two wires from the capacitor. I already showed you the two wires from the inductor, and these can all run to the breadboard. Now we need to be able to listen to this, and you could just use a pair of headphones or pretty much any kind of speaker that you want. But in this case, I'm modifying an eighth inch cable that I have. I'm just cutting one of the heads off of one side and I'm stripping it out. You can see that since this is a stereo cable, it actually has three conductors, black, red, and white. The black is the common or ground, and the red and white are the two channels of stereo audio. So it really doesn't matter. I'm just going to use this as a mono cable, so it doesn't matter whether I use the red or the white. I could use either one. But this is what I'm going to tap into my circuit, and then I have an eighth inch plug on the other end, and I found that this was convenient because I have a little speaker that takes an eighth inch plug, and then I'm able to turn that speaker on. It's self-powered, and so I can really hear what's going on in this radio. Now, the way that this inductor and this capacitor are wired together is in parallel, okay? So the one end of the capacitor attaches to one end of the inductor, and then the other end of the capacitor attaches to the other end of the inductor, as opposed to being in series where you have just one side of one component attached to one side of the other in series in the circuit. Now, the third component that we need is not really something that we can create easily because it is a semiconductor, and that is a diode. And a diode is a one-way valve for electricity. It allows electricity to flow through in one direction, but not the other. Now, the diode does not get hooked up entirely in parallel. Instead, I'm taking that from the positive side, and it's, positive is arbitrary here, but I'm taking it from one side of the device, in this case, the red cable, and then from the other side, in this case, the black cable, I'm attaching my speakers, the wire that's gonna go to my speaker. So here's my speaker, and I've got this eighth inch plug that plugs into the back. And now because the speaker has its own power, it can amplify the signal. So you may know the concept of a radio, and that is that we've got an inductor that is receiving a change in magnetic field. And what it really needs is a difference between one side and the other. And so what we need to do is we need to hook a ground wire up to this and attach that. In this case, I'm going to attach it to the black side of the circuit where it has got the capacitor and the inductor in parallel with it, and actually has the speaker wire on it as well. And then this ground wire needs to be attached to something in your house that represents ground. The easiest thing to do is to attach it to something like the back of a computer where you have metal, or any device that has metal exposed. Those are always grounded. In this case, I'm actually putting this into the ground hole of an outlet, but I don't recommend that if you're not familiar with electricity. Please don't try that and hurt yourself. Okay, you ready to see this thing work? So I just want to make sure that you have this concept of the difference between the antenna side and the ground side. The ground and the antenna can obviously not be at the same potential, because then there's no difference between them, and so there's no signal that's going to be coming across this wire. And so that's why we run the ground to something in our house that's grounded, and then on the other side we need something that's very much not grounded, and in fact has some sort of a
a conductive surface area. So if you've got some metal shelving or a bicycle or something like that, you can use that. You know, your body actually works fine though. So you'll notice when I grab the top of this capacitor, I'm giving it a plenty good antenna. So that's definitely the easiest way to do it. Okay, so let's go ahead and listen in real time to this radio working. This is the actual audio from the device.
San Diego before moving on to Texas. Here's the pitch, swung on, ground ball pulled right to the first baseman.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone?
BMW offers an industry-leading protection plan of up to 6 years. BMW Northwest has great financing options and lawyers
provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework.
We only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine.
For your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today.
Yes, it worked. So as you can tell, this is obviously a real radio signal because it was about 50% advertisements. But that worked pretty well, right? I mean, we got the radio stations in pretty clear. I think I can tell that there's maybe two or three radio stations that are kind of overlapping and coming in at the same time. And that's probably just because we've got a really rudimentary capacitor that's attached to it. There's nothing that's tuned or anything to just pull in one signal. So. But anyway, that's great. I hope you learned some really cool concepts from making a radio from scratch from some really, really simple components, raw materials, essentially. And I hope that solidifies the concept of radio frequencies in your mind and gives you some idea for some projects that you could create. Go ahead and go for it. And send us a tweet at The Maker Show. Have fun making.